From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 20, I'll begin with verse 27. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and then the third married her. And so in the same way, all died, and seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died, and in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Many of us are familiar with the little comical story, the Bible joke of the new pastor who had just began serving in his congregation. He was going out to visit some of the families in the community who were a part of his worship community. He approached one of the homes and he heard some rustling from inside, so he knew someone was home, and he knocked on the door and there was no answer. It went deathly quiet inside. So the pastor took out one of his business cards and just wrote simply these words on the back of his card, Revelation 3:20, and stuck it in the door. The next Sunday, as they gathered for worship and the offering was passed out, the note was returned, and under Revelation 3:20, there was a line in this cryptic note that said Genesis 3:10. The pastor had to get out his Bible, and he knew what he'd said. In a comical way, he'd written Revelation 3:20, which says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. As he looked up Genesis 3:10 and read the response, he was engulfed with laughter when it said, I heard you calling in the garden, but I was naked and afraid. They had both done their homework, hadn't they? They'd sought the scriptures for just the right reply. They found what they were looking for in the sacred text. You know, sometimes we too can search the scriptures for just the message that we yearn to hear. And that can be a healthy part of our journey of faith, right? We have concordances and great links, even on our iPhones today, that I can punch in to an app that I have. What does the Bible say about any subject? Maybe it's joy or laughter. And it will give me scriptural references to what I'm searching for. And when we use the text in this way, it is certainly constructive and adds to our journey of life and faith. But you know, there's also a temptation for us to approach Scripture in such a way that we only want it to support the agenda that we already bring to the text. Here's what I'm saying. As those who sought to share their joke in the text, sometimes we go to God with our own opinions and our own agendas. asking, Lord, I have a wonderful idea. If you'll just bless it, if you'll just show me the way, if you'll just open these other knuckleheads to what I already know, then we'll all be better off. God, will you bless my opinion, my agenda? You see, I think that's at the heart of what's happening in the scripture that we've shared here today from Luke. The Sadducees, those who were in some ways religious scholars, but those who were cared for with great pomp and circumstance in the city of Jerusalem and within the grounds of the holy temple, they went to Jesus with their agenda. Their agenda, their opinion was that there is no resurrection in the afterlife, and they supported that opinion. How did they support it? Let's say it once more. They went to Scripture to find what they wanted the text to say. You see, they had their opinion. They just needed the Scripture to support it. Sometimes we call that proof texting. We have our opinion of what we believe and what we think needs to happen and the agenda of how we want to move a people or our church, and we look for the Scripture to back us up. And that seems to be the motivation of the Sadducees as they quote Scripture and they share the story of how Moses gave this prescription of how if a person dies, then their brother must take their wife so that they can live on beyond this life. You see, they understood there that there must not be a resurrection or Moses would not have instituted this Levitical law of marriage. If they were going to live in the life to come, they didn't have to worry about their name being carried on now. But Jesus embraced their search to improve their agenda with Scripture with a true interpretation of Scripture. You see how he went back to the Word as well? He went back to the Word. And he didn't abuse and approach the Scripture with his own agenda, but instead he sought what might be God's agenda in Holy Scripture. Isn't that beautiful? What if we, instead of approaching the sacred text for yearning to hear what we want it to say, if we approach it with a humility and say, God, what do you want to say to me? Instead of searching to support our opinions, what if we search for God's opinion? If we say humbly, Lord, you show me the way, the direction for my life, the guidance for the decision I'm wrestling with. I don't know. Lord, I need less of me and more of you. I heard a sermon recently on this passage, and it was titled, Drop Your Agenda. The preacher who spoke these words, his name is Mark Mitchell, and he serves a church in San Francisco. And he said that so often in large churches, as the one he served, it's fashionable to preach topical sermons, to embrace those in the faith who are seeking services, those who look a topic up and say, I'm going to preach on this topic today. What does the Bible have to say about it? But Mitchell said, what I've learned is I want to embrace my preaching and have us rooted more in the expository form of preaching, talking about what we're saying today, instead of searching the Scripture to find our agenda. He says, I want to focus on one text and see what God's agenda is for me. You know, that's what we do here in our worship. We come to the text every week and we search what God may be saying to us instead of what we want to say to God. We wrestle with these texts as the Gospel of Luke and say, God, we don't bring anything to this text, but we seek you to bring it to us. Isn't that the desire of our faith? If we will set aside, in the words of that pastor, our agendas and open ourselves to God's agenda for us as a people, as a family, as an individual, then our Lord can mold and make us indeed more in the image of the one we serve. So how do we do that? How do we embrace God's agenda instead of our own? I think that we humbly do what Jesus is instructing today. We listen to Scripture. And we listen to Scripture by surrendering ourselves and crying out to the Holy Spirit to give us the ears to hear. You know, even as we go through this process today of electing new elders to our church session, in our book of order, the instructions given to session members who vote on various opinions and decisions of the church, our book of order says that as an elder, you have a call upon you to vote your conscience. The freedom to embrace your conscience. But I love what the book says here. It says it's not simply your conscience, though. Your conscience is guided by the Word of God. It's how the Holy Spirit is leading you to listen to what God is saying to you on this specific decision that you have to make. You see, I think those are the words that we take with us. As we seek God's opinion for our life, may we surrender, may we embrace our conscience, but may we say, O Holy Spirit from on high, will you give us the ears to be guided by your word? You see, that's the tradition of our faith. It's the surrender to God's strength and not of our own. Recently, as many of you know, we went through those terrible 70-mile-an-hour winds that impacted our community and our entire region from Tropical Storm Olga. Happened just before Halloween, and there was great devastation in Corinth, and certainly Will, our friend who's with us today, his neighborhood. It looked like a war zone. And just the other night, weeks after the terrible storm, another tree fell into a home. And I looked on the cover of the Daily Corinthian this morning, and it said, the danger has not passed. Trees and homes, neighborhoods are still vulnerable from the impact of that devastating storm. You see, what they explained was that the winds were so excruciating that many of the trees that look safe and secure on the outside are hollow on the inside, and their root system has become unstable. And with any other gust of wind, they are vulnerable to fall. Friends, we live in a world of winds. We live in a world where we find ourselves, right, oftentimes tossed to and fro and wondering what we have to stand on, what will guide us, and Holy Scripture is our foundation. Much as those trees find their root system unstable. Friends, when we drift away from God guiding us in our church, from Holy Scripture directing us as our foundation, we too find ourselves vulnerable in this world that blows against us. You see, it was in those trees. It's an understanding that their strength isn't within themselves, in their leaves, in their branches, but it's in the roots that are deep down into the earth that help them stand. Friends, may we remain humble and understand that our strength, hear me now, our strength is not in us. Our strength is in Almighty God. And God's word of life is our foundation to sustain us when the storms of life blow upon us. Look, guys, that's not preacher talk. I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm sharing this. I'm pouring my heart out as one who has journeyed in this life trusting himself only to find himself fallen and broken. But when I get it right, when I find myself strengthened for the journey of life, the strength is not in me, Judy, but it's in the surrender to God's strength and the humility to search Holy Scripture to guide me in the ways of the Lord, not to guide God in my ways. Tomorrow in our nation we'll celebrate Veterans Day, a time that we commemorate and remember and give thanks for those who've served our nation sacrificially, risking their lives and safety, giving of their time, and oftentimes leaving their family for the call of duty. And you know, one thing I continually am grateful for our veterans, that each one who has served our nation, they set aside their personal agenda. Right, Jody? They set aside what they may personally stand for to defend what we stand for as a United States. You see, they say the president is my president, whether I voted for them or not. They say our government is my government, whether I agree with our opinion on this or not. They say we are a united people, and my call to service is not about my personal agenda, but to serve the greater good of all of our people. Wow. What an example of our faith. And I think model of the nature of Almighty God. You see, at the heart of our text today, Jesus is reminding that we, dear friends, are resurrection people. That we have a God of the living, yes, now, but also the living eternal. And how do we receive that gift? Because Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord, in a way far greater than the veterans who served our nation, came down from heaven. And here's what he did. This message today, he is in Jerusalem. He is facing the end of his life. He is facing the naysayers, the persecutors, those who are attacking him personally. Are you with me? But even in the midst of this, Jesus sets aside his personal protection, his personal agenda to serve a world in need and embrace his Father in heaven's agenda for us, that he may serve and give his life so that we all who trust in him could have life and have it more abundantly forever and even in the now. May God be glorified this day and forever. Amen.